Welcome to the Pivot Podcast, everyone. We have a new episode here today. We have Camille Teodoro. Camille is a commercial model, actress, and beloved mother. She's here to talk about how she pivoted from her everyday lifestyle to becoming a commercial model and actress. So welcome to the show, Camille. But tell me kind of what first started, you know, with you on, you know, becoming a model and actress. What was it? Was it something that, you know, you started early on in life, or was that something that just kind of picked up?
Yeah, I actually started fairly young. I was towards the end of my senior year when I started dipping my feet in. But really, those teenage years was definitely more passion and just liking, enjoying creating and collaborating with other, whether it's wardrobe style, like stylists, photographers that were also building their port. So really it was just more for the art. And, you know, at the time it was MySpace. So I was like, just like, I had to post the photos, like I'm a model. And yeah, and how that started was more, I was always very tall. I was tall for being a Filipino, 5'8". And, you know, I think I got enough comments like, wow, you're really tall. Like, you should try this out. Not that that was that's the reason why I did it, but it was a drive force to like, you know what? I should try it. As I was enjoying the passion, I saw the reality of it actually being career. Maybe at the same time, I was still very young. And yeah, my second year in college, I was still going to school. I decided to move to New York, tried that out. It was good. It was cool. I got like some e-commerce gigs and some, I was doing a lot more like runway out here in LA, like for boutique agencies, and just got random castings here or bookings here and there, but it was never like now, like not a full-time career, you know.
Yeah.
When I was younger, I did see modeling, like you had to be in New York and it was high fashion and runway and, you know, being a size zero and magazines, like I had this perceived way of what modeling was, not knowing this commercial side existed in LA.
That's a lot to unpack though. That's, you know, there's a lot of good stuff there. So I kind of want to, I'm going to try to kind of piecemeal this, but so you're saying early on, right? You're tall for Filipino, let's say, right? You know, you had some people say, maybe this is something that you may be interested in. Growing up, was your family, did they influence you maybe to persuade you in a different career? How was that kind of growing up and with your background?
Yeah, being with a Filipino background, it was definitely tough because they wanted me in the medical field. Surprise, surprise. I mean, until now, you know what? Not so much now because I feel like I've proven my commitment and showing them through proof and supporting myself that my career and I'm doing. Few years ago, it was just like, you know, going back to school or just always trying to put me in the medical field. And I think in my younger years, you know, it was just, I think in general, when you're young like that, you do want to please your parents. And especially in the industry, something like this, it's just, I guess you'd say I'm like the black sheep. And I feel like when you look at television or watch things, like it's just this, you don't realize like that's actually work, a career. Like, oh, there's beautiful people on TV. Like, you know, there's work behind that to get there and it's possible. And I just don't think that they really understood that. They really didn't. Battling, you know, pleasing them, going back to school. I mean, there was a year where I did do farm tech for when I was 21.
Is that here in LA or was that in New York?
This was, I moved back from New York. I moved back from New York.
Okay.
And then I started doing that and I went to school for that and did it for a year. And of course, even in the midst of that, modeling never went away. I was always still doing it on the side. Like I would just get a random job and just like, I would still do it. I'll do it over the weekend.
Yeah.
But I wasn't paying bills that way. I just was just doing it. Thank you for asking these questions, by the way. It's really nice to like reflect in the past.
Yeah.
It always found me again.
Yeah.
It always found me or I found it.
And when I talk to people about this, it happens all the time, right? They have, you know, Asian American parents or, you know, American parents who obviously they love their children so much and they care for their children. So they have this kind of security and the safety that they want, you know, in a way, make sure that everything's fine. But sometimes, you know, you have to just break out. And that's kind of what I see there. the farm tech, the year in farm tech, because we talk about pivoting, right? When you have that 1 year and actually just, you know, sitting there and trying to become a farm tech, was that something where you would inside, you knew that it wasn't the right career?
That's a good question. So we were 21, right? I feel like when you're young, that things just aren't as impacting as of yet in regards to like your career set on stone. We're still figuring out who we are. And I think if I really want to be honest and really reflect on that, I would say that I was convinced that this is what I wanted to do. But in retrospect, it absolutely wasn't.
Oh, really?
And it took me doing it, going to school for it, getting my certification, getting the job, working it, and exactly a year. Exactly 1 year, I was just so unhappy. I was unhappy. I realized I wasn't full. I'm not a 9 to 5, four walls. Really felt constricted, and I know I had a lot to give, like energetically. And when I decided that, it was literally to the point where I didn't have answers necessarily of like what I wanted to do, but I knew I didn't want to do that. Went off gut instinct and followed my heart and just quit. And I moved to LA with no plan necessarily. I just knew that it just wasn't me. And I was just spinning my wheels. So with whatever money I had in my account, that's what I got. I found a place like straight from Huntington Beach. I think I was living in Huntington Beach at the time, working in Costa Mesa as a farm tech. And then I moved to LA straight from there to there, trusting the process that I'll figure it out. Yeah, within the month, I was like, you know, I was literally just walking Hollywood Boulevard, you know, find serving jobs. And I found a serving job on Hollywood Boulevard, and then worked my way up as a bartender.
Yeah.
And that was sustaining me for a bit. And then someone said, like, he just asked, like, oh, like, do you do commercials? Like, he used the term commercials. And then I was like, no. And it didn't even process that. I didn't think about that I can go that route as opposed to like fashion print, how what I always perceived it to be. And so then from there, it was just like a slow, like once that seed was planted, going hyper focus mode, and all you need to do is like Google. And, you know, I stayed connected with him, and, you know, he just helped me point me to the right direction of like workshops. Okay, you need to do this step and this step. You need some digitals. And I was like a student. At that point, I was a student, and literally I just listened to everything he said.
You know how people always talk about you have to go to school and you have to specifically graduate with this, but no one sometimes ever talks about the life school or the life experience that you start getting to actually get to where you want to be, right? Because fundamentals, you know, people teach you things at school, but at the end of the day, you have to actually incorporate that to whatever you're going to be working on. And it seems like you were doing that. And you know that what you're doing is leading to a goal. I think sometimes some people get caught up with, you know, they have a thought or a goal, but what they're doing every day doesn't lead to it. So I kind of want to talk about two things though. Like earlier you were telling me you just left and moved to New York, right? Is that what you were telling me?
If you feel, if you know what you want, like those decisions right there, I knew what I wanted in that moment. Move back. Yeah. But like, you need to just do it. Like, you need to just do it. And if it falls through, then it falls through. But it was strong, and that was my truth. And that's what I wanted to do.
The action you take, right, is sometimes you don't overthink it, right? And I think that is an aspect of people that are, you know, very goal oriented and career oriented that prevents others who overthink things, right? Because I think when you overthink, you get stuck, right? And
I mean, as somebody who overthinks, it's just detrimental in a sense, because you don't know what's going to happen. You don't know what's going to unfold. All you can really do is focus on in that moment, this present moment, the decision that you're making, and then decision by decision, moment to moment, it'll slowly unfold and lead you to where, you know, where it's going to go. Everybody says it's about the journey, and it really is. It's not a cliche for nothing. It's not going to be exactly this incline that you think picture be. Like, just like you're saying, you go to school, especially with this industry that I'm in. And I think that's what was really tough for me to finally find my voice and just truly follow, like, not doing what my mom had wanted for me, my family, friends, what my friends expected, because the industry and being an actor, I mean, this is definitely not a stable job. Like, it's not a 9 to 5, but you're self-employed. It's job to job. If I just trusted my truth and just went by it, and like, because I've always known. I mean, I started doing it when I was still in high school. I was in college in my senior year. And if I just trusted myself, and I don't, it's okay that I didn't. I needed to go through this process. I probably would have been in my career much earlier. So, like New York, like you were saying, I was already in college. I was going to Cal Poly Pomona to be a school teacher, and already doing observations, going to elementary schools, middle schools, and high schools, observing and putting in my hours. And I just went to New York, and what I gained was street. I was street smart, being in a completely different city with innocent eyes that doesn't know rejection is, and doesn't have much experience. It was just like my playground. That's a really beautiful thing that I don't regret. Because I do remember the feeling I had when I moved back home, going back to LA, California, after New York, and that time my friends were graduating, from college, and I didn't. And I always, the thought that crossed my mind was, oh, if I never left, I would have graduated by now. And in the end, I quickly would stop that train of thought. I'm like, you know what? I gained street smart instead of book smart. And I'm still book smart.
Let's say you're in the position of being a teacher. You're seeing kind of, you're doing the hours, you're observing, and then you start feeling that it's not for you. So you, well, not many people do this. You up and move to New York. But how was like the first like month living in New York? Did you know anyone? What?
I did. I actually had a lot of friends. My mom met them. She flew with me, and she stayed with me for a couple days because she needed meet everybody that I knew. And she met my manager, because before I went, I found a manager. Like, I didn't just go. Did that's what called me to, like, you know what? I'll go and try this out. And you know what? Before I continue on, it's really important for me to emphasize that although, yes, I did get those comments about, really making me feel doubted to not follow my dream. And now that I'm as a mother, I t completely get it. Like you were saying, like, of course, as a parent, you want to make sure your child is, takes the right path and make sure they're stable. Not a common job, and everybody around you, like, that was tough for me. It was a mind, like, everybody's going to school, and it really makes you quite, it made me question, like, am I doing the right thing? Like, am I going to succeed? You have all these questions, all this annoying, because you, like you said, you just think that it's supposed to be a, like, this way.
Do you remember a point in time where the doubt was, so heavily outweighed maybe by the intention of the goal?
I mean, doubt is always there, ready to any moment, especially. I can't really say anything specific that happened that was significant, but I think it's more of an underlying feeling, because until now, I can say I've been doing this full time for about 7 years now. So I've learned to pick up my toolbox and know, like, it's, I just have to push through it, because this is natural and this is part of the career and this is what you expect with rejection. And it's an unstable, it's like the stock market, right? Kill it, you could kill it 1 month, and and the next month you're it's kind of crickets, and it's just this, like, roller coaster of unknowingness. Just this vast black hole of just, like, you don't know what's going to happen week to week, day to day. And again, it goes to trusting the process, that and your mindset and the verbal talk that you have with your mind, and how your self-talk. It's all your self-talk. It's all about confidence. And I was talking to another model actually on set last week, like just maybe 4 days ago. And what's really beautiful about what we do as an actor or a model or in the industry is that it taught us to be an advocate for ourselves. And that's a really rare characteristic to have, because it's tough. Like, when you're just, you have to, when it's all on you. And
I guess, I mean, you have a community, right? But you're also, it's all self-intention, right? You're the one who wakes up. You're the one who has to make sure that you, I mean, I'm sure you have managers, you have people like that to help you get gigs, but you have to show up, right? You're the one that, so it's, I applaud you for, 7 years. I mean,
Thank you.
that's amazing, right?
It's really tough to really base judge your accomplishments off of on a day-to-day basis, and you have to look at it in a 10-year span at least.
Yeah.
And when you look at it in 10 span, then it's like, oh, I definitely improved and is way beyond the years of where I was 10 years ago. And when you look at it in that aspect, it's like, wow, you know what? I killed it, and I'm very proud of myself. And so you have to really reflect on that and really see the small things, because it really is hard to see it day to day. You won't see it. It's like, it's almost like you can't tell if you lost weight or gained weight until somebody who hasn't seen you in a long time.
We live in California, LA. Everything moves super fast, right? You're a
Right.
mother too, right? You have children to take care of. You have your career. There's just so much going on. By the time you even reflect, 1 a.m. and you're
Oh
like, I
yeah.
need to go to sleep.
Oh yeah. All these tiny little micro problems, or it's really easy to be consumed with it all, basing off the small little things as.
But you found a way to marry your goals, become a model actress, but on the commercial side. And that's like one of those things that you found, right? While, working in LA. So how was it for you? You were telling me how you wanted to print runway model, right? You went to New York.
Right.
How was it when you pivoting into that little niche where you're able to see yourself growing, right, in your craft? How was it when you first started, and how is it now?
Yeah, I found the sweet spot. Commercials, it was meant to be. It found me. It found the because I wasn't. Now I've accepted that I'm not 5'9". I feel like with runway and fashion and print, like you're just a natural, very tall, naturally thin, zero. I mean, retract that statement, because the industry changed so much.
That's what I was going to ask you, things like
That's
that
not
too.
necessarily the stats anymore. It's there when it's so beautiful that they're accepting of all body types, heights, and just real people, and that's really beautiful. Again, when I moved to LA, I went into like Ford, I think I went to LA Models, and I just wasn't getting it was they didn't want to sign me. They didn't want to sign me. Yeah, that was so I think Elite, I was trying every I think maybe I went to a few. So yeah, it was obviously that wasn't for me naturally. And when that guy, man, I can't remember his name right now, bless his heart, because he planted the seed. But yeah, when I heard the term commercial and started taking the workshops, it was like the aha moment of, and especially LA, right? LA, we're so commercial. All the commercials are shot here, and the type of ads and the things we do. If you wanted the high fashion modeling that I'm talking about, that's going to be in New York. If you're going to do the commercial world, LA is the place to be. And so once I started making the steps towards commercials, I guess, doing commercials because I am relatable. I think honestly, yes, it's looks as well. And I do have an aspiring look that's unique and it's different. And I'm representing like the island Pacific, like just a more of a diverse demographic, being a Filipino. There's not a lot of Filipinos in the industry, but I'm seeing it grow and it's amazing. I want there to be
100%.
more, and there needs to be more. And I'm so proud to be able to represent that. In regards to commercials, I felt I was more relatable. Like I can just be the girl next door. I could be I could be a sister, not just like a hanger, So I think I have more relatable like relatable person that people could see and relate with me as well, that's aspiring and motivating, but also just easy to get along with. And I feel that's what girls is all about, being relatable and being able to, the audience, whether it's commercials or the target market that you're trying to sell these products to. Okay, this can get a little business like of what I do,
It's okay.
but
This is
when
and this
I
is kind of what I
when
want. So other people who are, let's
you
say, thinking about it, they could hear something that they're like, oh my gosh, I listened to Camille and she was able to open maybe my horizon on the possibility of doing this, right? To me, this is what the podcast is
Yeah.
all about.
I encourage it. I absolutely encourage it, because nothing is po impossible, especially right now with the movement that is happening, minus the AI thing. I mean, with the work that I put in and all the
Yeah.
doubts and lumber and just scary things that come in the way
Yeah.
as obstacles. I mean, I have children too, and that
Yeah,
was a whole
that's
other that I had to go through
yeah.
in my
Yeah.
career and make decisions as well that could have easily been with the wrong perspective because of what I fed my mind. I shifted my perspective, and now they were the catalyst to grow, like into like. They're the reason why I'm as successful as I am right now. Not just self-motivating. It's not just self. I still have these two humans that I am providing for and are relying for me to feed them. When I found out my son was already 6 months, but I was actually doing a lot of runway. I was modeling before him, before I had him. But it wasn't, I was still serving, right?
Yeah,
I was a
doing the job, yeah.
server. It wasn't a full-time gig, and big ups to their father at the time when we were
Yeah.
together. He was a support. I think support, it takes a
Yeah.
village. And until now, it takes a village. What do you want to do? Because
Yeah.
if you want to go, you want this to be a career, you've got to be all in. Because you have a little one that's re like relying on you.
You need
It's
to
not just
feed
for the
him.
photo. It's not just for fun. Like, this is real. Like, do you want to make this a living and actually get checks to get a roof over your head, or what do you want? What is
Yeah.
this? Like, you know? And so that's where I had to really, you know, that's where I made the decision. And once I made that decision, like, you know what? I'm all in. I was all in. And that's when I started taking improv classes. I started taking the workshops. And then I did the whole process of like, okay, now I gotta find an agent. What do I do? And then just everything just like, once you make a decision, everything just kind of just the universe just kind of throws
Yeah.
bones at you of just like, as long as you're open and know what you want,
Yeah.
all of these messages, things come in synchronicity of like, you're on the path. Okay. You know, and you just
Yeah.
slowly start making everything becomes like synchronized and just like, oh, okay. And everything becomes fluid and easy. And you know, you'll know when you're home, when you're zoned in and on the path of like, you know, knowing what you want, it's just everything comes easy, I guess. I mean, it's hard. But
Yeah.
because your desire is so strong
It
and nothing can get
overcomes.
in the
Yeah.
way, like nothing can come, like nothing gets in the way, that even the obstacles is, you know, it's part of the journey, right?
You were talking about workshop and improv classes. I want to say that there is a preconceived notion that people who are models, actresses, and I've talked to Josh about this before. Some people think that's an easy job. I could go there. If someone thinks that they look like the greatest, I could go stand there. I could go and just hold this. And, or acting wise, I talked to Josh about this too. I can go read some lines. You know, some people think I'm not saying me, I'm just saying this is what people say. Some people think I can act this way. So for everyone out there, you know, who also have thoughts about being a model or an actor, what can you say, right? After hearing some of these people talk about how they could do your job like better than you, or they say, oh, I could do that so easy. What Camille does is so easy. Like, tell them how hard it is, one. And two, is, you know, what did you do to get better, right? Like, you were talking about you were taking improv classes. So tell everyone out there, it's not easy. You know, it requires work.
No, it's not easy. I mean, I know that we paint this pretty picture of the lifestyle that we have. And yes, it's amazing. It's a dream. But don't forget the work that it takes. All you see is the surface of
Yeah.
the job, the booking. It's
Yeah.
all the work to get that job, right? So what makes somebody who's beautiful you? There are millions of beautiful people out here in LA doing what I do that look exactly like me. And so what makes you any, like, how would you stand out in that? Right? Because what makes you any better than another person that has the same statistics at me, who's 5'8", Filipino, you know, can do this and that. There's other people out there that can do my job. So if you look at it, and if you break it down, say a casting director gets, I mean, and this is just lowballing it.
Yeah.
Like, let's say there's 1,000 submissions. Let's say 500 submissions
Yeah.
for this one role, okay? One role for this commercial, one spot. There's only one spot open, and there are 500 submissions. And that's a low number, especially after COVID, everybody's submitting. I remember hearing on a friend saying about how they got 2,000 submissions for this one role, right? And so if and to compete, I don't like using the word compete because we are a community after debating a long time. We all support each other because I think we just all know what we have to go through, and it's like we hooray, like we congratulate them, like congrats, like and it truly from our heart. Even though if we don't get it, you know, it's on to the next. But anyway, 500 submissions, right? To just to get the audition,
Or just to
to
get the
be, but then
audition.
two
Oh,
auditions,
wow.
right?
Okay.
Two and then you get to audition. So for commercials, it's a longer process. And so you get chosen to audition. So there's 500 of you that you're competing for in this one role. So the casting director sends it over to the client, whether say it's for, I'm looking around the house right now. Say it's for Yamaha. Say it's for Yamaha. There's I
Okay.
have a Yamaha keyboard. And Yamaha, they send over the videos, the 500 videos over to Yamaha. Yamaha narrows it down to what? Let's say 50.
Okay.
500 to 50 people, you know, and just even getting a what they call a callback, which is the second audition. So now you have a second audition. Second audition, you do almost who knows what you're gonna have to do, but maybe it's the same thing, but now you're in front of them because now it's self-tapes, right? Self-tapes, like the first audition is just you and yourself recording it, and then you turn it in.
Turn
But
okay.
now they were on a Zoom, now the client is there. You got the whole creative agency, you got the director, you got the writer, you got the casting director. It could be who knows because they mute themselves and they block themselves, so who knows how many are on you. You got the whole team. And then from there, going from 50, now you go down, then they're like, "Ooh, we like her," and they narrow it down to five people, right? But they don't tell you that. They're like, "Okay, well, thank you for having us. Like, you're great, blah blah." Then it's the waiting game, right? And so usually the five that they choose is like, you know, who knows what the process of decision making. They could be all similar, and there could be just like that one that's like just completely different, but they like it, and who knows? And so, and then, you know, then they narrow it down to the one. So it's a very to be able just to get the job. You know, we're auditioning, I'm auditioning, at least I used to. Honestly, right now I'm really blessed to say that right now, oddly enough, I've been doing a lot of direct bookings.
Oh,
Not
wow.
very many
Great.
auditions.
Great.
That's been saving my money, to be honest. Yeah. Direct bookings, not having an audition really. I have been very blessed and I've been very lucky. And also a reminder that I've been doing this for a long time now. And so I'm making it look like Bob Ross, like painting trees, you know, but it's not. It takes a lot of work. And before, just, and I'm sure it'll be busier again for me, like outside of these direct bookings, but you're usually auditioning like, you know, four times a week and hoping that at least one out of the seven you book, you know, but you're just, and then, and it's more of a mental thing, honestly. I feel like 70% of the hard, of what the difficulty is your mental state. If you're mentally strong enough to push through the no's, the rejection, and having enough self-worth and self-confidence in yourself that this isn't about you really. It's don't take it personal. It's not about your craft. Like, yes, your look, your craft, but you just don't know what's involved with the decision making. And so, and as to why you don't get the job. And that's really hard as a human. You're gonna paint this picture and have these assumptions, or really, until now, you know, it's a mental game of talking to yourself of like, man, like I made this mistake. I shouldn't have said this. Like a lot of waiting and not getting a response, a lot of no's. It's gonna take a lot of those for that one. And really, when you on social media, when you look at my Instagram, all you see is the result. All you see is that I got the job. You don't see the work that it took to get the job. And it's a lot. It's a lot. And yes, I'm not gonna lie. I love what I do. When I'm on set, yes, it's amazing. It's the dream. And I love being on set. I love meeting people. I love the locations that we always get to shoot at. That part is easier for me because I've done the work to get there. Even if it was based on, like, say, looks, right? Or, oh, you just have to be pretty. I get comments like that all the time. People are just saying things like stuff like that. And there may be a partial truth to that, but at the same time, there I know for a fact not everybody could say that they're comfortable and come in front of
Yeah,
the
I get weirded out by just looking at myself on Zoom sometimes. I'm like,
confidently own it. Just confidently own it and really just let that read for everyone to feel, right? And just put all of that guard down, all the, what people are gonna think of you. And just letting it all go and just owning it, right? So there's that aspect. And also, there's also, I mean, there's so many technicalities when it comes to modeling and say even looks, because you're the commodity, right? Back to what you were saying as being practical. But that's what's tough, being self-employed, because we're the commodity, right? So how we take care of ourselves and what we do on our free time. So it's like, and also
Can I just ask one question on that? Because I find that, a lot of people, I always say this in a general way, but yes, you yourself is the commodity, the physical as well as the internal, right? Some people work behind a counter. Right. Sometimes they don't care about the physical appearance, which is fine. That's, but yeah, I find this very fascinating because you are you yourself. So how do you, some people are very intentional on things on things that they do in order to get better, right? Is it
Right.
a daily thing for you? Like to say,
It's every single choice that you make, every single choice you make throughout the day, because, like I said, this is we're self-employed, right? This business. This is our business. This me as myself
Yeah,
is
that's what
my
I'm saying.
business. This is where this is how I make my money. So the effort that I put into myself, whether it's working on my craft, even especially with commercials, if you watch commercials, even as living life, like being a normal human is part of the work. Well, but I mean, on my free days, I'm playing basketball. I'm working out. That's also not just working out for my looks, but as in the talents that I get to do. I've literally dipped my feet in everything that I could possibly good, like whether it's a sport or like a new activity, because you just never know, like what they're looking for. They could be asking for someone who knows how to juggle. And the mo like something super random, riding a bike, riding a scooter, somebody who knows how to rollerblade. I mean, those are those little talents, those little things not everybody can do. And the more that you can put in your pot as a commodity, you're giving yourself more opportunities, right? So like me being a mom, me playing bat, I play basketball, I've played soccer, I did field, I play ping pong, I go hiking, there's a hiker, there's if you watch all commercials,
Some sort of
there's going to be people
physical.
hiking on the mountain for a jeep, or like there's just all these little slices of life of different people like that can do all those. And if you could just, the more you're only opening yourself to more opportunities to audition for those jobs. And because it's my full time, it's important that I can put as many talents in my bucket, right? So it's not just and yes, it is important to take care of my skin, take care of my body, health, but doesn't mean that what I do, what my goals are for my craft and the things that I want to master towards my craft is going to be completely unique and different for somebody else. Because, so you just have to stay authentic to you and what you love to do and who you are
That's
and do
great.
those things and be as great as you can to them. Even if it's just mediocre, at least you're mediocre and pantomime it. At least get the basics down, So we can choose to, this could be my off day, and I could just watch Netflix all day if I wanted to, Honestly, and that's even a commercial spot. Someone who's just laying down, flipping the
Laying there.
TV, which, like, at least I could, if I could really channel that, like, oh, when the director tells me, like, oh, you're just laying down watching TV, I'm like, oh, I know that very well. In life, everything in life that we do can be a commercial. Literally, this Zoom, I mean, I did a thing for Google about for Google Meets, and it was exactly that. So literally everything that we do in life is a commercial. So it's important for every individual, like if you really want to enjoy and have fun, if you want to do this industry, is do the things you love to do. Do the things that who are authentically you and do what you love and just really actively do it all the time so that and tell that to your agent. Hey, I love to hike. I bowl every Friday all the time. I do this. I am a mother and da, 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 da. I love Disneyland. Who, whatever. So that then your agent then submit you on when that job comes up. Like, hey,
That's perfect.
we're actually looking for a bowler. Like, there's not a lot. Let me submit you. You know what I mean? And the more that you're going to be doing the jobs that you actually love, and also you'll stand out in the audition because you actually do it and love doing it. There's this whole mastery behind it. Like, after a while, if you really want to find your branding and if you really want to love what everything that you do.
And that's kind of what we were, what we were talking about before, right? It's hard, right? And to find to know that there's some sort of intention to be better, to do, to make sure that you're getting out of everything out of life. You're learning steps as you go, and that can only help you as in your craft. And I think I want people to understand that it's not, recording yourself and, just thinking about this or thinking about that and then submitting it to an audition. There's an intention to everything, right? You have to be present. You have to be, have some sort of life to it.
Everybody's beautiful, you know, and it's like what's going to set you apart? That part that you find that will set you apart is the answer, I feel. When you could find that, whatever that beautiful thing that's not just of about a, since we're talking about modeling, like what sets you apart from being like from the rest of the beautiful people, you know, and you need to find that. And when you find that, that's your key.
Kind of wrapping up here, but I have a couple of more questions. And I always ask every guest these types of questions. So we had the pandemic, right? And that was, for almost 3 years. You've been doing, I think you've been saying you were doing commercial modeling, and obviously you've been doing modeling for a long time. But how was it pre-pandemic and then post-pandemic for, your line of work?
Yeah, that was a crazy ride. That was tough. I wasn't living and I was not, no, I never moved. We just went on a long vacation. Like we went out of town for 6 months,
Oh,
just
really?
like thinking for the pandemic to like go down. And it's just like, yeah, we were just kind of going day by day. Like it was usually we go over it every summer and it just became extended. Like, well, there's no point in going back. Production was closed for me, and the production was completely closed, and then we were getting unemployment. So I was working on, we were just going off the unemployment checks, right? And before COVID happened. So let me show you the difference. So before pandemic, I was driving around everywhere. All the castings were in person. Every single one was in person. Self-tapes, not. I mean, I think in theatrical, there were some self-tapes like before COVID, but as a commercial and print, I had to drive to every location. Like, whether I had three auditions one day, one was in Santa Monica, one would be in Hollywood, one would be, you know, could be in downtown. I mean, it was just driving, a lot of driving, and for 5 minute meetings or an hour in a waiting room for 5 seconds, and then with a 5 second audition.
Jeez.
So it was a lot of in-person things, but I loved it because where I made all my friends, being in that waiting room. That's where you get to mingle. That's where you get to socialize. You see a lot of familiar faces. It's fun. It's nice. The parking tickets, meter, feeding the meters, looking for parking, not so fun. That was the lifestyle. That's what you expect as an actor, a commercial model or modeling. And then COVID hit. And so nobody was working. Production shut down. Nobody was auditioning. Nobody was working. I think maybe 6 months into it, maybe like 4 months when it started, like production opened up, I wasn't doing it because that's when self-tape. I was like, you know what? I'm just gonna wait until I'm just gonna keep getting these unemployment checks until it's no longer self-tape. And I feel like a lot of actors and models can would agree with me because I had a lot of conversations and there was a lot of, I think at the time too, there was a lot of lives on Instagram, a lot of podcast, this one Clubhouse and stuff where casting directors were talking and predicting where the path was going to go for us. And it was kind of a little scary of like, well, what are we going to do? Are you going to open your casting office? Like, what is it going to stay in self-tapes? So then the whole self-tape talk was happening. And I remember what my complaint was in that moment in time, what my ego wouldn't let go of was, I'm not a session runner. I don't know lighting. I don't
Yeah.
do, like, this is not part of my job. Like,
Yeah.
this is not my job. Like, I'm not the director. I'm
You're not
not
doing every,
this. Like,
yeah.
all these little tiny things that I was just so, like, I'm not, I don't, like, pay me if you're gonna have me do all of that.
Yeah.
Like, I just was so certain that it was gonna go back to that. And
Oh.
then months passed and it didn't. And I was
Oh,
like, oh
wow.
my God, I'm either going to have to accept it if for what it is, or wait, keep waiting and not work, or just jump on the bandwagon and like figure it out, you know? And
No.
I think I just reached a point where I was getting antsy, like, okay, I've been on vacation long enough, like I'm ready to like
Work
work.
and yeah.
I actually really
Yeah.
missed it. I just missed doing what I love. And so yeah, I was like, you know, let's try this like self-tape thing, or and so now everything is just self, and
Yeah.
now there's some in-persons, you know, callbacks specifically for the second one, but most of
Yeah.
them are still self-tapes. And
Wow.
now it's like there's always pros and cons to everything. Like if
Yeah.
you choose one side, there's going to be pros to that,
Yeah.
cons to this. I do really do miss the people. I really miss seeing
Yeah.
my friends. I miss the room. I really do miss working off the energy of the room when you're auditioning. And I love being able to walk out the door and letting it go, because
Yeah.
I get one take and that's it. Like I
Yeah.
can't redo, I don't get a do-over. I don't get to stop it, re-record, you know, because there are some downfalls to
Yeah.
having, you get too much in your head and it comes off false
A
because it's
100%.
too perfect. And then you want it to be perfect, and that just defeats the whole purpose of the
Right.
audition. So now I try to act as if I'm in person, and I just, whatever, even if I mess up and completely off, I'll just submit it because that's who I am. That's me.
It's easier, right? But I'm assuming it could be harder because you're like trying to find the perfect, right? It's not as
Well,
organic.
now it's
Oh, that's easy. Okay.
right. Well, now it's easy. It's just like as in anything. I feel like even when reels started to come out in social, when anything, when there's something new,
Yeah,
when you
takes
don't
a
know
while.
anything,
Yeah.
figure out, even if you're a musician and you got to do like post editing, like anything, when you have to go on what is things to post edit, like your tracks and stuff like that. When you're learning something new, everything is tedious. Everything is
Yeah.
like, what? I have to buy this.
I
Like, I have to
think
wait,
about
what?
that. No.
But
Yeah.
once you just implement everything in, and just like after a long time, and then it's like you got your setup.
There's two more questions I gotta ask, and these are like the questions I ask everyone. So for anyone that's out there, right, that says that listens to you and they're like, you know what? I want to see what I can do. What are the life lessons you could give someone who's trying to get in started in this industry or not even, or that's just trying to pivot somewhere where they want a new career change? What would you say?
If you know deep down inside, you know what you want, like all these fears come up, and but you know you really want this, just do it. Like follow your heart. Definitely one. Because that's what I did when I moved to New York, when I moved to LA, when I quit my job. It was shut down all the noise, like shut down all the influences of what other people think, have to say. You can consider them. Yeah. If you could listen to what they have to say, respect what they have to say, and throw it into your pot of like your decision making. But in the end, it's you, right? Nobody else is walking in your shoes. They're not living your day to day. They can observe and they could judge all they want, but they're not. It's you. It's you who's walking them, who's gonna have to live that. If it's, you just gotta make the decision. You just gotta make a choice. You just gotta, you once you make that decision, stick to it
Yeah.
and do it. That of just following your heart, that's one. Gratitude. Like it, when if you don't, if you're really lost, if you're bad, if you're in a bad place, starting with gratitude and just focusing. I mean, everybody has stuff.
Yeah.
Trust me, everybody. I mean, social media, whatever is conceived, perceived, you don't know what anybody's going through, right? So everybody has shit.
100%.
Gratitude and focusing on the things that lift you up, that make you feel good, that make you happy, doing those things that make you happy, and the self-talk. Back to the self-talk. I had this, we talked about self-talk and how
Yeah.
important it is. What you tell yourself, how you feel about yourself, and really turning on that switch when you're,
Yeah.
you know, because I feel like we're all energy here, right? So what have your thoughts? Me and my friends and other models, we say like, when we want a job, when we're like making our bucket list, like, ooh, I want a soda job, or you
Yeah.
know, we're just kind of like having fun with it. It's like, let's speak it to life. because I feel like when you, it's one thing when you have your affirmations and you say it in your head, like, I am this, I want this, or, I will this. When you say them out loud, everything's energy. Like, it just makes things, it just things start to work. I guess I would say I'm a little more spiritual. I 100% believe in that. And I think thoughts become things, and what you feed your mind, it's going to come here in your real reality. And everything will just be a mirror of how you think and how you perceive life, to where you can be open to all the other beautiful things that are on this pretty wall instead of looking in that black little hole that's like a chip on the wall. There's so much that you can, that could be, that brought to you. Just being more on the positive aspect really brought in more positive things and opportunities.
Last question. Where do you see yourself in, 5 years?
That's a good one. I can see myself still doing this. I can see myself, I mean, there's quite a few things. So definitely want to be a mentor. I've already started working on with a partner. His name's Will McNeil, and he's a photographer, and we're starting a podcast of basically helping actors, models stand out, called Book It. So we're starting that. But also I don't know if you know that I also do photography. Can see myself behind the lens. I do a lot of scene stuff. I can see myself doing cinematography. I can see myself like doing theatrical work as an actor, pursuing if I want to go the act, like just really elevating. It's just right now it's really important to me be present with my kids, right? As it is, my plate is already full with the keeping of like being with the kids
I
and
imagine.
my audition, like work. It's like it's important to have an equal balance and not just work all, because I've also been on that side of the spectrum where I worked all the time and I'm losing out on my kids. So that's what I was manifest this year. I was like, I was going to figure a way to be able to be just as present with my kids as I was being successful in my career. And I think that's where the direct bookings are coming in. Like, see, it's like now I'm
It's
getting
out
these
there.
direct bookings every time. Like, yeah, I definitely can see myself being on the other side
That's
for
good.
sure.
Where you started, what influenced you, the what I see from you is just your goal setter, goal getter, action, right? Moving to New York and then coming back and then finding the commercial, right? And then working your way to make sure that this is what you want for 7 years, also having kids at the same time, the willingness to get to where you're at shows the willingness and the strength. So I appreciate your time.
Oh, of course.
I had a great time. I think, this is going to
So did
help.
I. Me.
And I can't wait to listen to your podcast.
But whenever we can find the pockets to record is when we do it. So, yeah, it's coming. It's a slow and steady race, but it's coming. And we've been working on it. So I'm really excited. I'm really excited to help the community.
With that said, I want to thank you for your time and I appreciate it, and I hope to talk to you soon.